that your word will rest in our minds and in our hearts and guide us in this coming week, that we might indeed serve you, the servant King. Amen. Please do be seated. At the end of Christian Aid Week, we reflect on God's call to serve the world in the name of Christ, for us here to be the servant church. Now, you know you're a servant when people treat you as one. Some years ago, when Sheila and I were living in Rushden and I was the minister of Highfield Baptist Church, Sheila and I used to run a children's group on a Monday evening. And during that group, we gave them all biscuits and squash, and they really enjoyed being there. Well, Tuesday lunchtime came, and Tuesday afternoon, the women's meeting took place. And it was about 1:30 on Tuesday lunchtime, there was a knock on the door. And one of the women from the women's meeting came round and said, "You'll have to come and see the mess there is." "Oh, right," I said. "Okay." So I followed round to the church. And there in the room where we had been giving biscuits and squash to the children, the women were meeting. And there were crumbs. Well, not a lot, but there were crumbs on the carpet. And they said, "Look, this needs clearing up." So I went and got a dustpan and a brush, and I started to brush up the crumbs to a chorus of, "You've missed a bit, there's some more over there." As I said, you know you're a servant when people treat you like one. But of course, this is far removed from the passage set where it is immediately before Jesus' crucifixion. So when the Pope or the Archbishop of Canterbury symbolically washed the feet of selected people on Maundy Thursday, what actually does that mean? Servanthood, we say. Yeah, but what does servanthood mean? We are the servant church. Ours is a servant ministry. But what does that imply for the way in which we live? Jesus says, "I have set you an example so that you will do just as I have done for you." But what has Jesus done for us? Is this passage about washing smelly feet? I think not. Let's consider the context. This is the Last Supper, the new covenant sealed in my blood, says Jesus. This washing, this cleansing is accomplished through the blood of Christ. This foot washing symbolizes what the crucifixion actualizes, what the crucifixion makes a reality. And it's what the Holy Spirit realizes in the life of us as Christian disciples, whose lives are given wholly into God's purposes. This is love without limit. It means crossing cultural boundaries. It means meeting with those who are different from us, even those that we feel are unacceptable in society or even in the church. It's what the Pope was saying this morning in his address when he said that this love reaches out to everyone. There are no barriers to the love of Christ. And this is the work of Christian Aid. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Earlier at the Last Supper, poor Peter put his foot in his mouth again. "You can't wash my feet. My pride won't allow you to do it. I won't let you stoop so low." Or is it that I want to keep myself clean by my own efforts? Peter, you can't be a disciple without this washing. This is not about washing feet dirty from the walk through dusty, foul streets of Jerusalem on the way to the upper room to celebrate the Passover. No, this is about the cleansing death of Christ on the cross, the atonement for sin, the new Passover, as recognized by John the Baptist right at the beginning. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And here, as they celebrate the Lamb of the Passover, this washing deals with the heart of the human condition, with sin, our disbelief, our failure to trust God and his purposes for our lives. And so Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. The language, once again, is familiar ring, laying aside his clothes and taking up the bowl, which echoes Jesus' words about his death and resurrection, laying aside and taking up. This action of washing the disciples' feet anticipates the death and resurrection of Jesus and his return to the Father by way of emptying himself of his divinity. This is Jesus' humiliation for us. Peter will never suffer the humiliation of having Jesus wash his feet. But Jesus points out, to be my disciple, you must be washed. Pride must perish. We accept Jesus stooping down from heaven to the cross to bring forgiveness and to set us free for new life. Peter, once again, sticks his foot in his mouth. He makes the human misunderstanding of thinking that quantity rather than quality is the most important thing. Not my feet, but my hands and my head. Don't you understand, Peter? Probably not. But later he will. The event of foot washing was a momentous event in the history of the church, symbolic of the greater act of humble service, death on the cross. It's complete love. It's full and it's to the end of time. This is a once and for all cleansing. We are put right with God in Christ and his death for us. This is love without limit. But there's a downside to all of this. Jesus, as their master and Lord, leaves them with an example of sacrificial love. This is encouraging love. This is reassuring love. But it's also challenging love. It's love without limit. You should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. Those who would come after me must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love without limit. And this is the focus of Christian Aid's work. And it is our call, the call to the church, to be the church of the servant Christ. This call to follow, to be the servant who demonstrates sacrificial love for the whole church. All who would follow Jesus, all who would be his true disciples, must demonstrate this sacrificial love. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. What does that mean for us? To serve each other? Yes, but how and in what way? This is not simply to be taken literally. Get the basins and towels out. Well, that would be far too easy. This is humble, sacrificial service that seeks to deal with the wrongs that people do to each other. Love one another as I have loved you, by this all people will know that you're my disciples. This is love without limit. The reversal of roles, where the master becomes the servant, must characterize Jesus' followers. Can we translate this in terms of our church family life? Servanthood is sacrificial. Are we prepared to give up time that we would spend on ourselves and give it in care and support to others in the fellowship? Well, I believe that there's a lot of evidence of this here in this fellowship at All Saints. As a Baptist, I might refer back to a Baptist covenant of walking together in love and watching over each other in love. Washing feet would be easy in comparison to what this passage actually calls us to do. This is time-consuming. It's costly. It's sacrificial. It is, in fact, denying self, taking up the cross-shaped life of sacrificial love, and following Jesus. It will mean giving up our presuppositions, our treasured desires for the church here, our own sacred cows, saying, well, it must be done this way, must be done my way, because together we must be seeking rather the mind of Christ and learning to serve him as the church here as he calls us, and that's love without limit. And we are called to be a servant of the world. The call has never been for the fellowship alone. This call to sacrifice is not for our friends only, but as Christian Aid demonstrates through its mission, it's for anyone in need of my love. Remember Jesus' explanation to the legal expert of the implications of the second great command, to love your neighbor as yourself, and the story of the Good Samaritan. It's anyone in need of my love. Not one of us? No. Not my religious group? No. Not my ethnic group? No. But actually, this love shines through. Anyone in need of my love. But what might that mean for us as a fellowship in this village, as part of the global community, in all its variety and need? We're called to walk around with open eyes, open ears, open hearts, to love without limit, to see every human being as a person created in God's image and loved in the cross of Christ. I want to conclude by reading the words of one of Graham Kendrick's hymns, which I think sums up so much of what it means to be the servant church. Who can sound the depths of sorrow in the Father heart of God? For the children we've rejected, for the lives so deeply scarred. And each light that we've extinguished has brought darkness to our land, upon our nation. Upon our nation, have mercy, Lord. We have scorned the truth you gave us. We have bowed to other lords. We have sacrificed the children on the altars of our gods. Oh, let truth again shine on us. Let your holy fear descend upon our nation. Upon our nation, have mercy, Lord. Who will stand against the violence? Who will comfort those who mourn? In an age of cruel rejection, who will build for love a home? Come and shake us into action. Come and melt our hearts of stone. Upon your people, upon your people, have mercy, Lord. Who can sound the depths of mercy in the Father heart of God? For there is a man of sorrows who for sinners shed his blood. He can heal the wounds of nations. He can wash the guilty clean because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. What are the concerns of the people in this village? What are the needs of this community? What are the real needs of our world? What are the issues that Jesus wants us to oppose, to answer, to challenge with his love? It's not easy being a servant. Oh, if only it was as simple as washing feet. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. We are called to love without limit. For God has no favourites, as we saw a couple of weeks ago and as it was repeated in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter's call is to cross cultural boundaries and to visit Cornelius's home. This is the work of Christian Aid, which we remember this week, but this is ours. Let's not put any barriers up. There are no barriers to the love of Christ crucified. Amen.